the Chinese year of the Eastern Bloc.
Welcome to Talking Eastern Bullocks with me, Jorma Kirko, and him,
Ray Mack, and our main sponsors, as always, James Joyce Irish Pub in Istanbul. And folks, seriously, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow us and subscribe on the app you're listening to right now. We're bringing you this episode with the help of our great friends, Grow Radio UK, home to the biggest selection of podcasts on your radio 24/7. Check them out if you're very, very curious, Shakers. Also about other podcasts and need a good recommendation, Jimmy.
Yes, today's show is the last show of the winter, thank God. It's spring in just 7 days now, Ray. And today's show is brought to you by Cock Handlers Magazine, a publication that has everything you need to know about raising poultry. This week's show has more magic than a wizard's wand. And we've got Donald Trump and Chris on the verge of leaving the island. And we've got Honzi back with his horoscopes.
Cock Handlers Magazine. That really cracked me up, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's exactly. This month's edition has a picture of a rooster on the front of it, and it gives you tips on how to get eggs fertilized. It's quite brilliant.
Worth a honorable mention. As usual, Shakers, we've got true or false, and we're going to start off, Shakers, with Morgan Freeman reading one of his own poems requested by a listener about International Women's Day.
Hi, Shakers. When I was a boy in the Deep South, we lived through a time called segregation. Blacks were kept down and often treated with brutality. At that point, I took a great interest in the rights of minorities and am proud of how far we have come, but we haven't come far enough. Last Thursday was International Women's Day, and when Ruth Northey and Les Starr in England asked for a poem to celebrate women and speak out against sexism, so I asked Jorma and Ray if it was okay to submit a poem a week late. They were more than happy to do this, as Ray informed me. His own mother is a woman. So, here is Brand New Heights by Morgan Freeman. International Women's Day falls on the 8th of March. A hint to all the gentlemen, we're no longer in charge. The world is full of women, like your mother and your wife. They walk among us every day and really shape our life. They clean, raise kids, iron, and make their men a sandwich. They do it all. So guys, let's quit the use of sexist language. Congratulations to all the lovely girls out there. Women's lives are tough, so I consider it's only fair to seize the day, celebrate, and take off all your bras and burn them. Or if not, book yourself into a spa. Do your nails, watch a soap. You know I'm not your master. Kick back, relax. Why not do the chores the day after? The Irish people tried so hard to change their constitution, end sexism, and to honor ladies' contribution. The government and opposition pushed for this big change, but the voters of Ireland just weren't on Leo's page. What went wrong? It seemed so clear. A vote on words to ban. Leo just don't understand chicks, though. 'Cause his own wife is a man. So let's respect the ladies of all shapes and sizes. The ones with loose morals. But don't forget the righteous. The ones with big boobies wish that they were more flat. And the skinny ones all dream that their ass had more fat. Differences divide us, women of the world. Please unite and bring this modern feminist stuff to brand new heights.
Nice poem, that one. Not sure if that's exactly what the one that was wanted, but you always know what you're going to get with Morgan, don't you? I mean, I like that, though, you know.
All I can say is thank to God, my mother was a woman. But both of us are completely in agreement, Jimmy, on the outstanding line, Leo's wife being a man.
Yes, if you're listening from outside of Ireland, or if you don't know anything about Irish politics, Leo Varadkar is not only the first non-white leader of Ireland, but also the first openly gay Taoiseach of Ireland as well, isn't he, Ray? And he did have an embarrassing loss in a referendum that should have been so easy. And he really ended up getting back to cock handlers weekly with egg on his face really badly last weekend. And I guess Morgan just thinks it's because he doesn't get the women because he's married to a man.
Yeah, we're back to the International Women's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, Jimmy, never laugh at your wife's choices. You are one of them, Jimmy.
One, I was going to say.
I love the little brother to his sister. Do you like being a girl? Sister says, it's got to be better than the alternative. Seriously, Jimmy, I love women. I absolutely love women, Jimster. I think every man, Jimmy, should have one. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Leo. Something coming up later on, Jimmy. Nearly 85% of this year's female winners celebrated their very first Oscar win at the 2024 ceremony. Oh, yeah. Seriously, Jimmy, sisters are doing it for themselves.
Yes, indeed.
You know that song, Aretha Franklin and Lennox, yeah. Signed. Mm-hmm. Good skills to the ladies.
Yeah, good skills to the ladies.
International Women's Day. We do rely on them on our show, Jimster.
We do. We do very much. And, you know, I mean, Joe Biden, even a few months ago, he said almost all of the women in his cabinet were women.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
around, yeah. And a good 80% of our listeners are, thankfully, women.
At least 80%. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because all the letters we're getting for Kiss and Tell, bar one, have been from women as well, haven't they?
Yes, they have, Jimmy.
Yeah. Now, it's been a while since Honzi has delivered his supposedly monthly horoscopes, but he's back. So let's go over to the Rainbow Nation and see what he's got for us.
Honzi, Honzi, horoscope, it's Honzi, Honzi time.
Honzi, Honzi, horoscope, isn't it hard?
How's it, Astro buddies? If you were born in March, chances are that you're gearing up for your birthday bash. Unless, of course, you have some wild mishap. But don't stress, only about 14% of folks kick the bucket on their special day. So a lick at 87% of you should be safe and sound. Now, guys, if you were born in March, you're probably wondering which star sign you fall under. Women know this, of course, by instinct, but you guys don't. Well, you could be in the Pisces crew, or maybe you're more of a Aquarius. To keep things simple, top modern astrologers like Mystic Meg and Russell Brand have merged them both into a new star sign with a working name called Pisces. Makes sense, right? Way better than trying to get sheep to mate with goats or scousers with Mancunians. Alright, let's dive into your birthday horoscope, especially if you're a Pisces. The last few months may have been quietly and internally challenging for you, and for me too, actually, as I was wrongly imprisoned for a crime I didn't commit in error, after a small misunderstanding at the Braai over whose wife got the last sausage. Anyway, it was only 9 weeks on Robben Island, I lost a few kilos, so now it's all liquor. And that's a bit like how you should see March. Especially February and all the ones just before it were a bit shit, like January, December, or August. With Mars, the god of war, doing its retrograde shuffle through your crib, finances might have been tight, but fear not, Mars sorts itself out on Thursday, January the 12th, giving you the green light for financial and travel plans. Unless you are Kelly, who's stuck behind bars for being a pedophile. I bet you wish you could fly now, Kelly, you fucking thrill cop. I know that a lot of you have been looking forward to a lot of my psychic racing tips, but there's been a small administrative issue with my permit to the race course, but I'm sure we'll be back on track. Once my cousin Elizabeth, yes, you remember her, puts a word in for me with the president of the race course. In the meantime, happy birthday, Shakers, whenever it is you celebrate. If you're a March baby, know that you share your birthday with Justin Bieber, the Canadian pole dancer, Sharon Stone, the actress who got her vagina out in 9.5 weeks, Benito Mussolini, the Italian dick toucher, and Alexander Graham Bell, the guy who invented the smartphone.
Welcome back, Hansi. Too long in the click, Jimmy. Too long.
It was a misunderstanding, though, Ray. It's a misunderstanding. Just like it was a misunderstanding that he got banned from the race course again.
He loves the old GGs, you know?
Yeah, he does. He does.
God, love him.
But I'm not too pleased with him, actually, on that one, because I suspect that he may have copied and pasted some of that from another horoscope, because I'm sure he said something about that such and such a thing's going to happen in January 2023.
What was the one again? Fiddling? I can't remember. Something to do with the John Thomas.
Yes, I think he referred to Benito Mussolini as being an Italian dick toucher.
Dick toucher.
Could have been his accent. Maybe that's how they say dictator in South Africa. I don't know. Or maybe it's a different thing altogether.
Brilliant.
Yeah, maybe he's been touching his Oscar too much. Or his Welsh BAFTA.
Anyway,
go away from where are we with that fucking Welsh bastard. Bastard, BAFTA.
Welsh bastard, you can't say that anymore. Welsh BAFTA.
That's another one she said, father. Ride me, BAFTA. Yeah. Sideways.
We'll talk about this afterwards.
True or false? Okay, Jimmy. Actually, I was talking about it just a few minutes ago. The Oscars. Right. Now, Jimmy, in your own good time, sir, Oscar statuettes given to winners at the Academy Awards was designed by a Scotsman. True or false?
Oh, gosh. Designed by a Scotsman. Can you give... How long have they been doing them for?
100 years, Jimmy, I'd say.
100 years?
Well, nearly, yeah. Yeah. I'd say so. It would be the 98th. I think that was the 98th Academy Award. Could have been, no, I'm not too sure. And you don't be checking that computer in front of you, good lad.
Yeah, okay. Designed by a Scotsman, and you reckon it's about 100 years ago?
Well, probably less.
I didn't even know the Academy Awards and the Oscars was the same thing. So it is then. Well, I might say Scots have invented many things. Many things. Television, telephone,
yeah.
Porridge, and...
they're great.
And they fried Mars bar. So, yeah, you know, when we're looking in that kind of direction, I think...
Great.
The Scots have probably invented enough stuff without inventing the Oscar award, so I'm going to say false.
Okay, I'll give it to you. It is.
It is false, or it is true?
It is. It's false.
Yeah. Oh, great. Who did invent it?
An Irishman.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. a relatively unknown Dublin man. His name was Cedric Gibbons, Jimmy and Shakers. Cedric Gibbons. The top Academy Award winner of all time should come as no surprise to everyone. A 22-time Oscar winner and a cartoon extraordinaire.
Is it Mickey Mouse?
Disney.
All right. Okay.
But did you Shakers out there know that the second place winner was, in fact, an Irishman, Cedric Gibbons, won no less than 11 Academy Awards. And not only that, but he designed the very Academy Award statuette that is handed out to winners year in and year out, Jimmy.
Did not know that.
He immigrated to the US and became MGM's top set designer from the 20s right through to the 50s, working on over 1,500 films, as well as designing the coveted prize. Good old Cedric won the awards for art direction and category, a record that remains unsurpassed to this very day.
Wowee. Now, what I want to know is, so they're called Oscars, so I assumed that some fella called Oscar must have invented them at some point. And
he was on Sesame Street, wasn't he?
He was. He was. So why didn't they call them Cedrics? I would be very proud to say that, you know, I've won an Academy Award. I've got a Cedric. I think it's
an Irish Cedric.
Yeah.
I'd be very proud to say that.
Yes, indeed. Who designed the Welsh BAFTA, Ray? Do you know?
BAFTA.
The Welsh one.
Shaun the Sheep.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. It was just a question. I was wondering if
I wouldn't know that. The Welsh BAFTA. I never knew there even was one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very, very famous. It's particularly popular in Wales.
You're taking the piss.
I can't remember. I'm sure I watched this black tie event that was the Welsh BAFTAs at some point. Anyway,
last Sunday was Oscar night, Jimmy.
Right.
At the Dolby Theatre in Hollywood, Los Angeles. My favourite part of the Oscars, Jimmy, again, was not watching it. What I was curious here, no, seriously, because Cillian Murphy was up for a big gong. He was up for Best Actor gong. So I watched the 2-minute acceptance speech on YouTube the following day at school, Jimmy, on my lunch break. Mm-hmm. And good skills, the first ever Irish-born actor to win the Best Actor Oscar. Good man, Cillian, you fine Cork man.
Well done, Cillian. Well done, Cillian.
Oh, Jimmy, something you didn't know. Oscar winners have to sign an agreement and follow one strict rule after receiving the award. The rule has been in place for over 60 years, and it has even sparked lawsuits, Jimmy. The Oscar winners are banned from attempting to sell their trophies unless they meet certain requirements first. Anyway, why would you try to sell anyway, Jimmy? Unlikely, but it is possible that particularly...
The same reason as anyone does. I mean, all these ex-footballers sell their medals and things when they go bankrupt and, you know, the inevitable descent into drink and drugs and gambling debts and stuff. I'm sure you could get a bit of money for a Cedric or an Oscar.
The bigger stars might not have any space and they might want to sell it off for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
But rules are rules, Jimmy. The award winners shall not sell or dispose without, now listen to this, without first offering to sell it to the Academy for a sum of $1. You think
you're
sucking in when I'm spitting out one fucking dollar?
Well, that's nice. It's kind of recycling, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are they made of?
They're made of... I reckon it's false as hell gold. It's fake.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not real. I wouldn't think so.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but that's good because, you know, carbon footprints and all that, and false gold. You know, that's probably really quite damaging to the environment. So, has anyone ever tried to do it anyway?
Yeah, somebody did, but I think it was around 30 or 40 years ago, and it was a court case over it. And I didn't have much time to look into it, Jimmy. Very, very busy week.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Late Sunday night, Monday morning, when Killian Murphy was reminded about this law,
mm-hmm.
he firmly replied, "No fighting, no fucking fighting, no fucking fighting." I watched Oppenheimer, Jimmy. I watched it.
Oh yeah,
it was Jimmy. It was Catmalogian, Jimmy. There was no riding.
What's that mean about?
No riding, zero zilch.
Right. Really?
Yeah. Fuck that for a game of soldiers.
Yeah. I've got a friend, if that's the kind of thing that you want, I've got a friend who can get you a few films with a bit of writing in. Yeah.
On the night, the big winner was Oppenheimer, Jimmy. Plus, mm-hmm. delighted that Robert Downey Jr. got Best Supporting Actor and Best Director Christopher Nolan. Oppenheimer simply ran away with the majority. Poor Things, another great movie, Jimmy. Emma Stone deserved it. Absolutely deserved it.
Was she the one that Hansi was on about who got her fanny out in 9.5 weeks?
No, that's not Emma Thompson either. What was her name?
It wasn't Emma Thompson.
I know, but Emma Stone, you know. Yeah, what was the one exactly. that got a fanny out in... that was Kim Basinger, wasn't it?
No. She boiled a rabbit.
Oh, Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah, I got that one wrong. it was Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone, she got her fanny.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Sharon Stone. I'm thinking of Glenn Close.
He's
the bunny lover
altogether.
Yeah,
in Batman Returns, Glenn Close?
You know a bloke called John Cena?
No.
Anyway, at the 2024 Oscars on Sunday, in the nip, John Cena took to stage seemingly in his birthday suit.
Seemingly.
save for a winner's envelope and some Birkenstocks. You know what Birkenstocks are, Jimmy?
Yeah, I've heard of those.
Do you wear them?
No.
Oh, you don't. Are they American or German?
German. It means beech stick. Beech as in the tree.
Okay, now imagine in the nip... Mm-hmm. and wearing some Birkenstocks to present the award mm-hmm. for Best Costume Design. Bollocks. Sweet Mary, the Mother of God. Jimothy.
Did he not even cover his gong?
He looked a proper right holy show. Seriously, pumped up with steroids, Jimmy, and some kind of jock strap. I hear would go away from around me. A pure holy show, Jimmy. I'd be mortified, seriously, parading oneself around like that, looking like a grade A gobshite, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, yeah. Imagine, picture this, the Father Ted cast at the Oscars, watching John Cena and saying, "They're a bit obsessed with the old SEX. Jimmy, that
is it a nudie? Is it a nudie thing?
He's got his lad out. Bollocks naked was another word. That would be a nude minicle matter, Jimmy. It was just the top half. Not the whole thing.
All right.
Google waking up, Jimmy, in the morning. John Cena was in the nip.
And who did he real? Who did? And who did?
Right me sideways, Oscar.
Yeah.
That was another one.
It was. Who did Dougal really say was in the net? Can you remember?
Yeah, I know. Who did he say it about?
Carol Vorderman. Because he was dreaming about playing Countdown, wasn't he? And he kept saying vowel consonant. No, put your clothes back on, Carol. I can't concentrate.
John Thomas Oscar. Yes. His rounder on the top.
Yes.
Here we are now, all the lads. Oh, Jesus, sweet Mary, Mother of God, and up. You did great, Jimmy. And the Oscar goes to Jimothy.
Yes. I'd still rather have a Welsh BAFTA. Anyway, you actually, with the Welsh BAFTAs, you get a face, you know.
You do.
You do. You do. It's not one of those body things, like, because an Oscar, that's a kind of a man, isn't it? Or an effigy or something. But you get a proper face with a Welsh BAFTA. So, you know, something to aspire to. And you can sell them as well, if you want. Put them on eBay. Going for at least £17 at the moment, if you actually win.
You bollocks.
All right. Thanks. Special thanks to Mark Johnson, by the way, who contributed to the GoFundMe for the Ilona Jennings Cancer Fund this week. Very much appreciated, Mark. If anybody else would like to contribute, it's pinned to the top of the Talking Istanbulics Facebook page. And have you put it on Black Milkshake yet, Raymond?
On it,
yes, okay. Just check that, please.
I will. Listen to that, Mark.
Yeah, thanks very much. Listen to last week's show and the week before, you'll find out what that's about.
And after this weekend, Jimmy, I'll give you a few bob as well.
All right, thanks.
For that very, very good cause. You're very, very welcome. In one! Now, as the US election has officially been confirmed as being Biden against Trump, Donald and Chris get a call from Marjorie Taylor Greene telling them that she's created a way for them to finally escape the desert island without facing charges. It should be okay, so long as Donald can understand the instructions.
And therein could lie the problem. All right, let's hear it.
Well, that was tremendous that we received that satellite phone, wasn't it?
Huh? Oh, that? I thought it was a dog toy, Chris.
You're a fucking dog toy.
Huh? It doesn't squeak when I press it.
Well, answer it then.
Calling Agent Orange. Message coming in from Clan Mom.
Marjorie.
Do you read me? Repeat, do you read me?
I can't read the screen when I'm talking. How are things in Georgia? It's Marjorie Taylor Swift.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You're supposed to be speaking in code.
It's great on this island. We're doing tremendous things here, the best things. Can you send me some toilet paper? I've got sand in my ass hair.
Listen very carefully. I shall say this only once. Captain Hook is waiting for Peter Pan in Never Never Land.
Hey, can you say that in American?
Over and out.
Just, she hung up on me. What the hell does Captain Hook is waiting in Never Never Land mean?
Only checking the secret code book. Wait a minute. It means Uncle Sam wants you back. You do know what that means, don't you, Donald?
Aha! So Marjorie's uncle wants me back. Is he the guy with that construction firm in Atlanta? Tremendous buildings, the best structures, magnificent erections. You know, Chris, I kind of get the horn thinking about her filthy voice. Imagine the size of her tits.
It's a figure of speech. Uncle Sam means America. There might be a way to get back into the White House and get immunity from prosecution.
That's terrific news, the greatest news.
But we need a plan. There are certain things that need to change.
Can't I just do what I normally do?
On no account. The world has changed, Donald. Nobody hates Mexicans anymore. Women can have penises and suburban American women don't like suntan misogynists anymore.
That's insane, Chris. How can people stop hating Mexicans? But Chris, women have always had penises. A hell of a lot of them have had mine.
That's not quite what I mean, but anyway. Now, listen to me and listen good.
Sure, Chris. You're the only person I do listen to.
First, don't bring up the Russian P-Gate tapes. It's a sensitive topic.
Russian what now? No problem. What else?
I mean the whole golden shower thing. Do not mention that again. I nearly ended up at the veterinarians cleaning up that mess for you last time.
No problem. What else? Got it, Chris. Appeal to urban females. You grab them by the pussy.
No, Donnie, you're not getting it. Let's focus on your return. Remember, no Russian P-gate and be respectful.
Now, don't worry, Chris. Melania even believed me about what I did with those hookers in Moscow. So no worries. Marjorie Taylor Swift can teach me what to do with urban women when she gets back from her world tour of Singapore.
That's Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donnie. The mad congresswoman who talks about Jewish space lasers.
I love her music. It's terrific.
That's Taylor Swift, you nincompoop.
Taylor Swift, Marjorie Taylor Greene. What's the difference? Chris, let me ask you something. Chris, do you think Marjorie would be up for a presidential golden shower when I get in?
I can't take this anymore, Donnie. I might vote Biden. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or Marjorie Taylor Swift.
I was going to say that. They truly mixed that up.
Yeah. Did you see that video that
I did, yeah.
Sent you, Ray? Well, obviously, no one else will know what that is, but because I didn't send it to you. But the famous journalist that called Emily Maitlis, who used to work for the BBC, is now a very top podcaster, and she's absolutely brilliant. I find her really funny, but she's really, really smart. And she did this interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And again, if you don't know her, she is the most hideous and obnoxious human being on earth. And she's all sickly sweet and American politician at the beginning. And Emily asks her a couple of questions if she's going to be Trump's vice president or not. And she's being all nice with it. And then Emily says to her, "Can you tell me why people who tend to support Donald Trump believe in conspiracy theories?" And she responds with a smile on her face, "You know, you believe in conspiracy theories. I mean, that's a childish thing. It's just like saying your mum believes in conspiracy theories, isn't it?" But then Emily continues with it and says, "Well, tell me about the Jewish space lasers." And Marjorie Taylor Greene had made some bizarre claim at this point that there were Jewish space lasers above California. And I mean, it is as mad as it sounds. And Marjorie Taylor Greene just said, "Why don't you tell me about the Jewish space lasers? And actually, why don't you just fuck off?"
Look,
I couldn't believe that only in America would a popular politician have such a lack of class that they would tell a top journalist to fuck off for asking a very good question. Yeah, it's brilliant. Just check that if you... you know, go on YouTube and just write "Marjorie Taylor Greene tells Emily Maitlis to fuck off." It is so funny.
But I was surprised, you know, Emily, sweet girl as well, you know, that she got cursed at. Seriously, what a lovely lady she is. Seriously, dude, space.
She is, but she's got a wicked sense of humour. She did that on purpose.
Yeah, and fair play to her, seriously. But space lasers, Jimmy. That's out of something from a Mel Brooks.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And especially Jewish ones as well, like that. Anyway.
God help us. Another political joke and gobshite, Jimmy.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Black Milkshake, best posts of the week.
Host of the Week Shakers comes in from props to Anne-Marie Holmes, residing in Fallowfield, Manchester, but originally from County Westmeath, Ireland, Jimster.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Hope everything's well in Fallowfield, a very fine place to be.
Fine place.
You'd like Fallowfield, right? It's a very cool place.
In Manchester, most of my family reside there as well.
All right.
In Manchester, yeah. And Uncle Eamon.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Once upon a time, there was a great explorer who collected exotic animals for the London Zoo. One day, news of a new species of bird was brought to his attention. Only one had ever been seen. It was called the Rary Bird. R-A-R-E-Y Bird. Rary Bird. Because simply, Shakers, well, it was so feckin' rare, Jimmy. And naturally, as the great explorer didn't give a flying fuck, he simply, certainly, absolutely had to save it for the London Zoo, pal, you dig. He travelled far and wide until he was successful in his quest. He brought the Rary Bird back to the London Zoo, and kept it in a large cage where all could see it in its marvel, full marvel. Before long, the Rary Bird ate so much and grew so large that the cage could no longer contain it. It was moved to a larger cage, but soon outgrew the one as well. It became apparent that the Rary Bird was not going to stop growing, Jimmy, and so the great explorer was asked to shoot it dead before it could eat the zoo out of business completely. Well, it was already too late. No weapon in the great explorer's possession could kill the Rary Bird. The military was called in, and they too could not kill the Rary Bird. There was only one chance left. The Rary Bird would be brought to the highest cliff in the land and thrown over the edge to meet its end on the rocks below. Now, the Rary Bird had remained silent all this time, but when it was finally brought to the edge of this cliff, it turned to the great explorer and said, "I say, what are you planning to do with me?" The explorer replied, "We are going to tip you over the edge." The Rary Bird looked at the rocks below, far below.
I know what you're going to say.
Great explorer, "Sweet Mary, Mother of God, that's a long way
to Tipperary."
It's the stupid, silly ones doing it. I love it.
Oh,
thanks
brilliant.
A million, Amory Holmes.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't know where we were going with that one, but the minute that we saw the cliff, and I thought, oh, yeah, it's going to get tipped over the edge, isn't it? all right. That's all, folks, for this week. Keep your letters coming in for Kiss and Tell, and tell us about a date that left you cold and or hot, maybe, and send us a topic that you'd like Morgan to read or write a poem about. Any topic, he will write about it. We should be going over to Licky End next week, where Norma encounters True Grit as a quiet man gets his jukes out, just to give a little hint. Please subscribe to the show so that you get the next episode automatically in your feed.
Yeah, just before we continue to thank you, can I get a little plug in, Jimmy? Because as it's Thursday here in our local juicer, tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday is St. Patrick's weekend at this fine joint, James Joyce. I will be playing in the Terrace Bar 8 till late Saturday night and Sunday. And actually, I'll be probably there all Sunday. And the main weekend word will be shenanigator. It's a noun, Jimmy, a person who instigates
shenanigans. Shenanigans. Okay, excellent. Good skill. So if you're in Istanbul, pop along to James Joyce Irish Pub upstairs in the terrace, and you'll meet half of the dynamic duo. You might even meet me as well. Depends what I'm up to. What are you going to say?
Thanks
now?
Thanks a lot, everybody, Shakers. If you enjoy the show, as always, please support the show in whatever way you can.
Yes, tell a friend, post this show on your social media and tag us. Give us a review, whatever you can. This is your show as much as ours, and we can only keep making it if you lend a hand.
Special thanks to Cock Handlers Magazine, Mark E., our Chinese voiceover artist, Donald Trump,
Morgan Friedman, Chris the Dog, Marjorie Taylor Swift, the Welsh BAFTAs, and Eamon McAndrew.
That's another Hubcast Rap Shakers. Have a super fabulous weekend full of knick-knack, paddywhack, shenanigans, tomfoolery, scoops, and crack.
Yep, good skills.
Skills.
Talking is Dan Bullock's comedy podcast was brought to you by Ray Mack and Yorma Kiriko and was produced by James Kirk. No animals or copyright were violated during the making of this podcast. Talking Istanbul Bullocks 2024.